Good morning. Welcome to Daily Sabbath today. We extend a special welcome to all of you who are first-year students. You're getting to the end of your first year, so congratulations. And also, we welcome anyone for whom this is your first time at Daily Sabbath this semester. Through the course of any given week, we gather at 10 a.m. for practices that help us pause, rest, and reflect in the midst of our full and fruitful lives. Many of these liturgies are rooted in the Christian tradition, and others allow us to learn about and experience the wisdom of other religions and perspectives. On Tuesdays this year, we have been gathering for speakers, interfaith observances, and contemplative practices from a variety of traditions. Today, we welcome our speaker, multi-faith advisor Ilya Vajid, and members of the Muslim community at Gustavus, who will read texts, prayers, and stories from the Muslim tradition. We also thank senior Emily Rudquist for sharing her musical talents with us this morning. As we begin, let's just stand and greet one another with a warm hello, and then we will begin the rest of our service. What do you want to do?
Hi, I'm going to read a few verses from the Quran. This first one I'm just going to read in English because I haven't practiced yet. O humankind, indeed we have created you from male and female and made you into peoples and tribes so that you may know one another. Indeed, the most noble of you in the sight of God is the most God-conscious of you. Indeed, God is all-knowing and all-aware. Do you want to read it?
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الناس إنا خلقناكم من ذكر وأنثى وجعلناكم شعوبا وقبائل لتعرفوا إن أكرمكم من عند الله إن الله أتقاكم إن الله عليم خبير. And the translation for this: O humankind, indeed we have created you from male and female, and made you into people and tribes, so that you may know one another. Indeed, the most noble of you in the sight of God is the most God-conscious of you. Indeed, God is all-knowing and all-aware. Thank you.
I'm also going to read another verse from the Quran. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wa anzalna ilayka al-kitaba bil haqqi musaddiqan lima bayna yadayhi min al-kitabi wa muheyminan alayhi fal فاحكم بينتهم بما أنزل الله ولا تتبع أهواءهم عما جاءك من الحق لكل جعلنا منكم شرعة ومنهاجا ولو شاء الله لجعلكم أمة واحدة ولكن ليبلوكم فيما آتاكم فاستبقوا الخيرات إلى الله مرجعكم جميعا فينبئكم بما كنتم فيه تختلفون. And this translates into, we have revealed to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the scripture with the truth as a confirmer of that scripture which precedes it. And as a protector, therefore, for each we have appointed Allah in a way. Had God willed, he could have made you one community with one religion, but in order that he might try you that which he has given you, he has made you as you are. So vie with one another in good works. Unto God you will all return, and he will inform you of that wherein you differed.
I'm going to be reading a 14th century poem by a Persian poet. Would you think it odd if Hafiz said, I'm in love with every church and mosque and temple and any kind of shrine, because I know that these are the places, these are the names of the one God. Would you tell your friends I was a bit strange if I admitted I'm indeed in love with every mind, body, and heart? I'm sincerely plumb crazy about your every thought and yearning and limb, because, my dear, I know that it is through these that you search for him.
Good morning. Thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate everyone's presence, and I'm just excited to be together. So in the Muslim tradition, you start almost everything that you do with the words Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, which means in the name of God, the most merciful, the most compassionate. There are said to be 99 names of God, but those are the two names that are the most repeated and the ones that you say before you read the Quran or before you eat or ideally when you wake up in the morning. And it's a way of kind of calling upon God and calling upon God's name to be a part of everything that you do. So Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. When I think about the verses of the Quran that Basra and Rafe just read, I cannot help but find comfort in hearing that we were created differently with purpose, that there is deeper meaning behind the diversity of humankind. According to these verses of the Quran, we were created differently to know one another, to learn from one another, to experience the richness of our diversity and difference. While we often feel comfort in being around those like us, this teaching encourages us to interact with those who seem completely different from us, telling us that there is something beautiful and profound in this. Our difference then does not become something intimidating or uncomfortable, but instead an opportunity for us to challenge one another and to grow together. Our differences, instead of being obstacles, are then part of the divine intention, which is, as the verses state, for us to get to know one another and thereby learn from one another and inspire us to better ourselves and our communities. One example of how these verses have been lived out in Islamic history dates back to the lifetime of the Prophet Muhammad himself. In the year 622, the Prophet Muhammad and his community migrated from Mecca to Medina at the invitation of a delegation in Medina consisting of the representatives of the 12 important clans there. Hearing of his peacemaking abilities, his honesty, and good character, they asked him to serve as a neutral chief arbitrator for the entire community, as there had been much strife in Medina between some of its religious communities and tribes for the past 100 years before. After arriving in Medina, Muhammad drafted the Charter of Medina, establishing a kind of alliance among the Medinan tribes and the Muslim emigrants from Mecca, which specified the rights and duties of all citizens and the relationship of the different communities in Medina. According to scholars Gary Bouma and Sayyid Khattab, this was actually the first constitution of democracy in the history of constitutional rule. Moreover, it formed the basis of a multi-religious Islamic state in Medina. Written with the intention of maintaining peace and cooperation among all of the Medinan groups, the document ensured religious freedom, a freedom of religious beliefs and practices for all citizens who followed. It assured that representatives of all parties, Muslim or non-Muslim, should be present when consultation occurs or in cases of negotiation with foreign states, and it imposed a tax system for supporting the community in times of conflict. Lastly, it declared the role of Medina as a sacred place where no blood of the peoples included in the pact can be spilled. While this example is kind of a top-down portrayal of religious diversity and pluralism, its lived reality reveals something more. The diversity of the community initially brought many challenges and 100 years of violence, but existing there in this very difference was also opportunity to learn peaceful practices, to create an example and foundation of a multicultural and multi-religious society, and to learn and grow from the richness of one another's beliefs and cultures. Moreover, this new community was based not just on tolerance of one another, but a deeper coexistence, cooperation, acceptance of one another, and of their differences. Do you want to? So Professor Naeem is going to read another story that connects, and then I'll kind of conclude.
This story is about Umar ibn al-Khattab, who was the second Islamic caliph, so a very important figure in the early Muslim community. And the story is narrated, that I'll be using, by Baba Mahiuddin, who was a contemporary spiritual teacher who from Sri Lanka, who moved to the United States, and he's buried near Philadelphia. So there's a traditional story about Umar ibn al-Khattab, the Islamic caliph who captured the city of Jerusalem and built the first mosque on the grounds of the sacred sanctuary, now known as the Dome of the Rock. Umar was a ruler of great justice and peace. Because of his noble qualities, he was given the beautiful name, Commander of the Faithful. And it was his rightful duty to receive the key to the holy city, which was the original Qibla, the direction Muslims face while praying. The armies of Umar had already entered Jerusalem and taken control of the city from the Christians who had ruled there since the time of Constantine. But when Umar came to take official possession of Jerusalem, he came alone. He journeyed from Damascus to Jerusalem with only one camel and a cameleer. The caliph, being a man of great humility, had arranged with the cameleer that they would both take turns riding the camel. According to justice, he would ride for a while, then the cameleer would ride and he would walk. Meanwhile, the entire city was awaiting Umar's impending arrival. The Bishop of the Holy Sepulchre had announced, "The great Islamic leader is coming. We must greet him and pay our respects to him." So all the people had gathered at the city gate, awaiting a grand royal procession. But no procession appeared. Instead, two people became visible on the horizon, approaching very slowly. When they finally reached the city, it was the cameleer's turn to be riding. And so all the people mistook him for the caliph and rushed to greet him. "Wait, I'm not the caliph," he protested and explained their arrangement to take turns riding and walking. The people, overwhelmed by this justice, praised the great caliph. The bishop was also amazed by such justice. His heart was filled with joy and he handed the key to the city to Umar ibn al-Khattab. The bishop then invited Umar to perform his prayers within their church. But when Umar saw the interior decorated with all the Christian symbols, he politely declined, saying, "I will pray just outside the doors." Once he had finished, the bishop asked, "Why would you not come inside our church?" "If I had prayed in your sanctuary," Umar explained, "my followers and those who come here in the future may take over this building and turn it into a mosque. That would destroy your place of worship. To avoid these difficulties and allow your church to continue as it is, I prayed outside." I will also read Umar's contract with the inhabitants of Jerusalem that was made at the same time. The contract, as recorded, reads, "This is the assurance of safety which the servant of God, Umar, the commander of the faithful, has granted the people of Jerusalem. He has given them an assurance of safety for themselves, for their property, their churches, their crosses, the sick and healthy of the city, and for all the rituals that belong to their religion. Their churches will not be inhabited by Muslims, nor will they be destroyed, neither they nor the land on which they stand, nor their churches and crosses, nor their property will be damaged."
We often speak of practicing tolerance, but we tolerate a toothache or a rock in our shoe. We tolerate things that are uncomfortable and cause us uneasiness. This does not seem like the ideal model for us interacting with one another on a human level. Thus, I encourage us to go beyond tolerance, to acceptance, and to celebration of our differences. I hope that we can learn and grow and transform through interactions with one another, just as these communities did. When I think of my own most significant time of growth and learning, the first thing that comes to mind is my college experience. This time was an opportunity to meet people from different parts of the country and different parts of the world, and we would share stories of our lives, our families, our cultures, our faiths, and our non-faith traditions and understandings. Some of my most meaningful spiritual learning also came in this time, particularly from participating in an interfaith dialogue group called Scriptural Reasoning. In this group, we would read texts from different religious traditions around a shared topic. And not only was it interesting to read the texts of other traditions, but the most fascinating part was to hear the way that people of different traditions read my own scripture. This new lens gave it a completely fresh perspective and gifted me new possible ways of engaging with and understanding my own textual tradition. Moreover, in this dialogue, we did not wash over our differences and sing kumbaya and try to all be the same. Rather, while we spoke about our similarities, we also learned so much from discussing our differences in beliefs and practice. In addition to this, outside of our own personal growth and understanding, diversity and difference can be a great source of strength and the impetus for incredible creativity and productivity. For example, so many of the scientific and technological advances in today's world would not be possible without our globalized, interconnected societies. Grassroots movements for social and political change and protection of the environment, involving people of diverse cultures and religions, and interfaith movements for peace and reconciliation between peoples also give us further examples of how diverse viewpoints can come together and create something meaningful that can help change the world for the better. Through these examples, we are called to coexist, to move beyond tolerance of one another, and to interact with each other on a deeper level and celebrate our differences and grow and create together through them. Finally, I ask us to interact with one another on a deeper human level. In the Christian tradition, we are told that man is made in the image of God. The Muslim tradition shares this, saying that God's spirit is breathed into every human being. I call us then to see this divine spark in everyone we interact with, and let us try to experience them on this level, not on the level of disagreements, annoyances, and misunderstandings. In the Islamic tradition, God says, "Neither my heavens nor my earth encompasses me, but the heart of my believing servant does encompass me." It also says, "The heart of the person of faith is the throne of the all-compassionate." Then let us learn to see one another on that heart level and to interact in that way. Let this shape the way in which we view and interact with the world and with one another. Thank you.
My heart has become capable of every form. It is a pasture for gazelles and a convent for Christian monks and a temple for idols and the pilgrim's Kaaba and the tables of the Torah and the book of the Quran. I follow the religion of love. Whatever way love's camels take, that is my religion and my faith.
So thank you for joining us today for this interfaith observance. And if you have time, we invite you to stay as Emily plays our postlude on the piano. Have a great day.